On this Great American Songbook audio edition, Marty Lucas interviews the poet laureate of vintage pop music, Will Friewald, about the life and musical career of the late Ella Fitzgerald. Author of Jazz Singing, America's Great Voices from Bessie Smith to Bebop and Beyond, Will Friewald recently took over as jazz choice writer for the Village Voice and has been a regular contributor to the New York Times. He's earned a reputation as one of the most knowledgeable and thoughtful commentators on American popular song. Friewald has served as a consultant on many television documentaries and has produced and annotated hundreds of compact disc reissues, including several Grammy Award-winning packages. His most recent book is Sinatra, The Song Is You, the first full-length work to document the musical life of Frank Sinatra. In the first segment, Will describes the beginning of Ella Fitzgerald's career and her first hit song.
This is Marty Lucas, and we're in a telephone interview with Will Friewald about the late Ella Fitzgerald. Will, tell us a little bit about Ella Fitzgerald. How did she start out?
Well, Ella started as a vocalist with the Chick Webb Band. Actually, there's a career even before that when she was involved in amateur hours and stuff like that in Harlem and competing up at the Apollo Theater and stuff like that. But basically, she first became a national name as a girl singer with Chick Webb. And in fact, she was so much an attraction for that band that eventually she came to dominate it. And in a sense, you know, she moved from just being sort of a member of the band to putting the whole rest of the band as a sort of a background for her while she became sort of a star of it, and everything else sort of, you know, receded. And, you know, she really became like one of the most prominent attractions of the swing era. And when Chick Webb died, she took over the group and just became Ella Fitzgerald and her orchestra. And again, she was in the forefront, and the band was just sort of, you know, secondary to her, which was very unusual at that particular time, because that was an age when the bands really ruled the roost, and it was unusual to see a singer step forward and take over like that. Very, very uncommon.
Well, let's get the context here. Now, you say that Ella Fitzgerald started as a singer in Harlem. What year was it that did she really first started singing professionally?
She did those amateur shows, and I think was first heard by Webb in 34, and then really establishes herself with the band in 1935. That's when
So how old was she then?
If she was born in 17, she'd have been 18 years old at that time.
So she was really quite young. And what was the style of music in the day? What were some of the hit records that were in that day? Kind of give our listeners an idea of what, you know, the pop music world in America was like at that time.
Well, actually, what Ella started, or Ella, like I knew her, Fitzgerald started a really interesting trend that was around in some ways before her, but she really put it on the map, which was this idea of swinging nursery rhymes. She had this record called The Tisket a Tasket, which was her idea to do, and she adapted this old, like I say, nursery rhyme into a swing number, and that became one of the big trends of the day after she did it. Not only were there all kinds of like cover versions of A Tisket a Tasket, but everybody started taking these old nursery rhymes and jazzing them up, and that was a whole thing that she started at that point. In fact, that is one of her early contributions to pop music history, was that concept. For instance, the King Cole Trio came out and did a version of Three Blind Mice in swing time around that, and there are all these other attempts to kind of like swing these cute old songs at that point.
A tisket, a tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I send a letter to my mummy. On the way I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it, a little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue, but not a single thing to do. She went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die.
Now, that piece, Tisket a Tasket, it obviously its origin is as a nursery rhyme, but listening to that, it has a lot of the elements of jazz when she gets done with it, doesn't it?
Well, sure. That's what she puts to it. I mean, she kind of just takes, I mean, it, and again, it's sort of a microcosm for Ella's, you know, what became her whole career, because she's very musically driven, more so than in terms of lyrics. And with something like A Tisket a Tasket, she proves that she really doesn't even need a lyric at all. It can just be utter nonsense. I mean, you know, A Tisket a Tasket doesn't pretend to be Cole Porter or Rodgers and Hart or something like that. It's just a sense of, you know, a bunch of random words that really don't mean anything. And yet by the time she's done, she just invests it with so much rhythm and so much swing and such a powerful, contagious spirit that it doesn't matter that there's really no lyric to speak of. You know, it's just a bunch of nonsense that she really makes meaningful.
That was a hit song in its day. What was a hit song in those days? I mean, today you have a platinum record, you have CDs, you have radio play. Give us a little bit of the idea of what the music world was like at that time. What made a song a hit then?
Well, at that particular point, there was still in a phase where sheet music was still big, although it was fast receding, you know, compared to records. And essentially it was, you know, having a hit record that made it a song. I mean, there weren't anything like an MTV video. But the idea was basically to sell records and sheet music. And in those post-Depression days, or, you know, early, still within the Depression, really, something like 15,000 pieces, to sell 15,000 copies of a record was considered a hit. That's how low the industry was in terms of as a business. You know, it was really lean times for the record business, and so something like Tisket a Tasket was really a monster hit by the standards of the day, and it still has, you know, been that way for the last 60 years.
And it would have been a 78 record on, and would that song have been on one side of a 78?
Right, I forget what the flip side was. Her first record with Chick Webb was something called Love and Kisses from 35, and then Tisket a Tasket was a couple of years later after that.
But that also received radio play, though, too, at the time, right? That was radio?
Well, the thing was they would perform the song live on the radio, and you would hear it on the radio that way. It would be unusual to hear a DJ play the record. I mean, there were some DJ shows at that time. They were really just starting, but that was kind of in the future then. At that point, they thought that playing a record on the air would prevent people from buying it. And now people think it's just the other way around. But it was really rare to have, you know, like DJ shows where guys would just come on and spin records. That's really a post-war innovation, so to speak. In those days, you would hear the song on the radio by Ella and Chick Webb, or you would hear it, you know, covered by other dance bands of the period. But, you know, you'd have to go out and buy the record to hear it.